evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Diets simply don't work. 90% of dieters lose a few pounds, but then gain them right back, every time. At Radiant Clinic, we look at the cause of disease rather than merely treating the symptoms. We optimize thyroid and adrenal function, balance brain chemistry and hormones, all of which can cause weight gain. Our medical weight loss program will actually reset your metabolism so the pounds stay off permanently. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free guide to permanent weight loss, or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Charles Van Veek, who's out of Africa. He comes from frontline ministry, or perhaps he has his own ministry at the present time, but he's going to give us a real description of what's going on in Africa today, because there's so much of what you are not hearing. For instance, what part of the Chinese playing in what's going on in the Congo today, where 5 million people have been killed. 5 million people have been killed in the Congo. We don't talk about that. My goodness, we're really concerned about what's happening with the football season. Who's going to win the NFL this year? And 5 million people slaughtered, just like it was in Rwanda. We weren't told about the slaughter going on there in 1994 and until it was all over. And then the President Clinton, who had told his staff, never use the word genocide in reference to Rwanda, why we'd have to do something. President Clinton comes up and says, oh, we're just so sorry about what, if we'd know what was going on. They know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and they let it happen, and they're letting it happen in the Congo today. If you want to hear me, you want to hear Charles. So good morning, Charles. How are you?
Dr. Stan, I'm well, thank you, and it's good to be talking to you again.
Well, it's so good. I appreciate you calling me and letting me know you were here. Tell us about what's going on in the Congo and what part of the Chinese playing.
Well, the Congo, as you mentioned, there are millions of people that have died because of the civil war there, and things seem to have calmed down last year when they had their first elections in 40 years. And the war has just broken out again now in Goma. And being a gun-free zone, the poor, innocent people can't defend themselves. Just the rebel soldiers and the government forces have got guns, and so they can just rape and steal and pillage with impunity. There's nobody to, the local citizens can't protect their families and stand up to them in any way. So there's, it sounds like it's back to chaos in eastern Congo right now. But interestingly enough, the Chinese are paying a lot of interest in Africa. And they're not like the good-hearted Americans who give financial gifts and food to Africa with no strings attached. These people are giving loans of billions of U.S. dollars. The smallest I've heard was $5 billion, and it could be anything up to $8 or $10 billion loan. And this is for infrastructure, for roads, and apparently for hospitals and universities that they'll be building in the Congo, the Chinese communists. And what happens is that they give the loans, and then they get Chinese contractors to do all the building. So the money never, ever leaves China. The Chinese will be doing the building of all these roads and hospitals. And all that happens is that the Congolese people, or the Congolese government, is now in debt to China, a debt that they would never be able to pay back in anybody's lifetime. And so they need to then pay back with the mineral rights. Congo is some of the greatest mineral resources in the world. They've got virtually every mineral you can think of. They've got gold and diamonds and cobalt and everything over there, platinum. And so now they are going to have to open their mines for the Chinese to pay back for these very large loans they're getting. So basically China will be controlling the Congo over the next couple of decades.
And, of course, we're doing everything we can to build up the Chinese communist government. And where is the outcry from people here in America? Well, it's a tragic situation in the Congo. What's happening in South Africa? Is there any sort of an alliance between the whites and the responsible black element there?
Yes, the black and white problem in South Africa isn't actually such a big issue. You know, if you've been living, my family's been in South Africa since the 1600s. You know, this whole idea of there being problems all the time is actually a lot of nonsense. You know, if you're racist, you can't live in Africa. If you're a white man, you might as well leave and go somewhere else. So the general idea of the people is that everybody gets on reasonably well, but it's the politicians that are trying to polarize people all the time. And so they will keep harping on about the segregation that used to happen 20 years ago and further away in the past. And in fact, the young new voters don't even know anything about apartheid. They've just learned about it in history. They've got no idea of what it was about. And so these politicians keep harping on these things to try and polarize the voting. And what happens is, in Africa, part of your the whole idea of your worldview and things is that Africans believe generally, culturally, that there are limited resources in the world, and that you look after your own family, your kinsmen, and everybody else in the world is a competitor for those limited resources. Now, we as Christians don't believe that. We believe that God can bless us with great resources. He can bless us with ingenuity to develop new systems of electricity and power plants and all that sort of thing. You know, we don't think of just being limited in any way. So that is why part of why Africa looks the way it does, because every person that wants to come to power only looks after his own family or his own tribal kinsmen, and everybody else can literally die. They're not interested in looking after the people of the country. And so there is a polarization, not necessarily between black and white, but between various tribes and various faiths. You might have heard about Uganda with Idi Amin and the fact that there was tribal warfare and he slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people. That had nothing to do with tribal warfare. Idi Amin was a Muslim. He was murdering Christians. He murdered a Christian bishop in Uganda. In Rwanda, we heard it was all tribal warfare going on there. Well, it wasn't just tribal warfare there. The Tutsis were animists. They were worshipping their ancestors, or the Hutus were, and the Tutsis were a minority Christian group. Many of them were Christians. And so we see this killing of the Christians going on, 800,000 of them being murdered in about 6 weeks. These sorts of things are happening around Africa, and the West is telling us there's all this tribal problems. I'm not saying there aren't any tribal problems, but many times it is Muslims killing the Christians. And we saw that in Sudan. The Muslim government bombing Christians with fighter jets on Sundays in their churches. And in fact, my colleagues of Frontline Fellowship were preaching in churches when they were being bombed, and they had to run out of their churches and hide in trenches. And so these are the sorts of things that are happening around Africa.
Right, and of course, the Sudanese were getting their money largely from China Petrol, with Chinese oil coming in. It was borrowing its money on the markets here in the United States, and no opposition at all to providing the funds for China Petrol that was funding the Sudanese that were killing the Christians. But we never like to talk about that here. Well, what about in South Africa, though? Certainly, is there still an effort to disarm the people, take away their guns, just like there is here in the United States? And what about the relationship between the black and the white there, and trying to stop the gun grab by those who had established brutal tyranny? We'll be back in just a moment with Charles van Dyk, who's just visiting us briefly from South Africa.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Charles Van Vick from South Africa. And Charles, certainly, what about the situation? My understanding is that one of the parties is new forming over there, a new bloc party, seems to be breaking away from the ANC, the Communist Party there that runs South Africa, that incidentally was installed by the American State Department. But what about this new effort to separate away from the ANC? Is that good or bad for South Africa?
Yes, we're actually very happy that the communists are fighting amongst each other. There seems to be a big power struggle going on at the moment. And South Africa hasn't been a democracy, even although that's what the West has been told. Basically, what you do is at voting time is you vote for a party, and they appoint whoever they want in parliament. And so it's proportional representation. If you get 60% of the vote, you get 60% of the seats in parliament. And the member of parliament, all he has to do is keep his boss, the party president, happy to keep his seat. He doesn't have to look after constituents because they didn't vote for him. And so it's a really strange system we have. But at the moment, the biggest party, the African National Congress, who have about 70% of, they control about 70% of the seats in parliament, that's Nelson Mandela's group, the African National Congress. They are splitting at the moment. There's a big power struggle going on. But we need that. We need more parties. We need a more democratic type system where, you know, if you've got a party that controls 70% of parliament, they control everything. They can change the constitution and they have when it suits them. They can change laws. It doesn't matter what the other parties vote. If they vote in bloc, then, you know, you've got no say in anything. And when it came to the abortion vote in parliament many years ago when Nelson Mandela was president, he just forced all of his members of parliament to vote pro-abortion, and he didn't give them a conscience vote. And those Catholics and that were in the party who didn't go to parliament that day because they didn't want it on their conscience to vote pro-abortion, he fined them for not being there. So that's the way the system works in South Africa.
Now that's the program that the United States installed there. I mean, we put Mandela in power.
That's right. The State Department wrote the script for the demise of South Africa. We were, except for the bad policy of apartheid that we had, we were a Christian nation. We had a protection of the Lord's Day on Sundays. Abortion was illegal in South Africa. The death penalty we had for rape and murder in South Africa. Gambling was illegal in our country. We had a Christian nation. Pornography was illegal in South Africa. And in 1996, when it was legalized, we had a 400% increase in child abuse in our country. And so things have just been falling to pieces. We all wanted apartheid to be done away with, but we didn't want our whole country to go down the drain. And when the communists take over, they destroy everything. You know, they come over to America and they talk Greenpeace so that they can get money, your dollars from you. And then when they come back, they've deforested our nation by 60% already. And so they really just destroy everything they possibly can. And we got to a stage now where you can hardly get anything done there. You don't even know if you're going to have electricity in your operations. At our office, we've got to have generators ready for when our electricity goes off. It can happen any time, any day. There's not even warning.
Well, this never used to happen when I lived in South Africa, where we had a steady supply of electricity. Of course, when we went into Iraq, why, we did the same thing that we've done to South Africa. It must be pretty chaotic. How often does the electricity go off?
Well, it depends on which part of the country you're in. It's worse in certain areas than in others. So, you know, sometimes it can go off every day for a couple of weeks, and then other times you'll have little disruption. So, you know, it's pandemonium. And, in fact, a friend of mine met a nurse who was leaving the country to go work in Dubai, and he asked her why she was leaving, and she said they were in an operation at a private hospital in South Africa, and during the operation, the electricity went off, and nothing came on again, not even the generators. So the doctor that was busy with surgery sent somebody out of the surgery and asked him to go find out what was going on, and somebody had stolen all the petrol, the gas for the generators. And this is the kind of chaos we have in our country. People get stuck in lifts, elevators, because the electricity goes off and nobody's expecting it. And you can imagine trying to run a system like that.
Well, I think we're probably going to be moving into a period of chaos and crisis here in the United States. We've elected a dedicated Marxist to power, one who's totally supported by the Communist Party. I know, because I read the Communist publications. They were all behind our new president, who's going to bring change, but nobody ever mentions what sort of change he's going to bring. So I really believe, of course, that we're going to see the same sort of things here in the United States as we degenerate into financial turmoil and chaos. So, but anyway, it's such a tragedy, because South Africa was such a wonderful country when I lived there, and they were doing away with apartheid. They'd integrated the sports teams. They were integrating the stadiums. They were beginning to integrate the neighborhoods. But you see, the American State Department didn't want a solution. They wanted to bring the communists to power there, as they do all throughout the world, but they can't tell the American people that. That's the trouble. Well, anyway, tell us what's happening in some of the other countries over there in South Africa. Oh, certainly. What about the theology of self-defense for a Christian nation?
Yes, you know, that's part of the problem. And one of the interesting things is, Dr. Stan, you've been there, you understand Africa, and that your right to freedom of speech is directly linked to your right to bear arms. In countries like the Congo, you cannot say whatever you want about the government. The people live in absolute fear of their lives, because, in fact, there's a bishop in the Congo who spoke out against the government, and now he's sitting in jail for years and years. And you're too scared to say a single word. If you take firearms away from the people of America, you'll also lose your freedom of speech. And one has to be very careful of that. But, yes, you know, in 1993, our church was attacked by these terrorists, the Azanian People's Liberation Army, and they threw hand grenades into the congregation, a large congregation, about 1,500 people. They had automatic assault rifles that they were shooting into the congregation, and I had a little .38 special revolver with me, and I was sitting very far from the back, at the back of the church, and I returned fire at the terrorists, and they ran out of the church immediately. I didn't realize that I'd hit one of them, and I ran outside the church to try and get behind them to shoot them at close range, just because of the distance I was shooting. And when I came outside, they'd already run outside. They were at the getaway car, and they drove off. And, you know, the whole idea of having an armed citizenry is that you can protect yourselves under these circumstances. And, in fact, in Africa, we've got criminals in government. It's not just criminals on the streets that we need to protect ourselves from. And the Bible is very clear about us protecting ourselves. In fact, in 1 Timothy, we read, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. So we believe that we need to protect those whom God has entrusted to us. And in fact, on the 1st of July this year, I was attacked again in South Africa. My first third life-threatening attack in South Africa. And again, I needed to use a firearm to ward off these two thugs that were stealing our cell phones and our money and wanting to take our firearms away from us. And many people would argue, you know, didn't you pulling out a firearm and shooting make the situation far more violent and far more troublesome. No, it diffused the situation. The thugs ran away when I shot at them. And these are the kinds of things we need to remember. And in fact, the Bible even says in Exodus 22 that if a thief is caught breaking in and he's struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. If you're in a life-threatening situation and you protect yourself with lethal force, then you're not guilty of the bloodshed.
And as we know from our experience here in the United States, that in communities where people have the right to keep and bear arms and even the right to carry a concealed firearm, the incidence of crime goes down dramatically. But, of course, they argue, oh, my goodness, firearms kill people. We've got to take them away. And I say, fine, take them away from the police officers. Take them away from the military, and we can really have peace. And people say that's crazy. And that's absolutely right. It's all crazy. But I think we can learn a lot from your experience there in South Africa, because they would have slaughtered the people in the church if you hadn't been there with a firearm to defend them. And it's a shame that everybody in South Africa, in fact, I know many people in South Africa do carry firearms, don't they?
That's right. The government is busy disarming us right now. But, you know, gun control only disarms the law-abiding citizens. It doesn't disarm the rebel soldiers. It doesn't disarm the thugs in the streets and the wicked. They keep it. I mean, by definition, the lawbreakers are the ones that aren't going to obey the law. So guns make it easier to harm others, but it also makes it easier to protect and prevent criminal acts. And about a million times a year, people in South Africa just brandish a weapon, and then the crime doesn't take place. And so, you know, one doesn't hear about these things because there was no crime to report on. So the only things you hear about is the times that firearms are used for evil. And people don't consider the positive effects of owning firearms in a society. They can be used to save innocent lives. In defensive gun use is used many, many times in South Africa. So there's great benefits to a society of having firearms. And obviously our communist government doesn't like this idea, and they're busy disarming us right now. But the people that are going to be involved in civil disobedience in South Africa, we have an association called the Black Gun Owners Association, and they are refusing to renew their firearm licenses because the government doesn't know who all has firearms, so they're wanting us to all renew our licenses, which we need to carry firearms in South Africa, and they're refusing. And these black people are saying, under no circumstances are we going to renew our licenses, and if you want our guns, come and get them. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out in the future. And in fact, if listeners want to read about what has been going on in South Africa with the new gun laws and also the St. James Massacre, I wrote a book called Shooting Back, and subtitled The Right and Duty of Self-Defense, which is available from WorldNet Daily, WND.com or WorldNetDaily.com. And it's also in a documentary DVD form, if people would like to prefer to watch the DVD rather than read the book. And then also, my personal website is missionliberty.com, and people can there find out about our ministry with Frontline Fellowship. And we've historically worked in the war zones of Africa, which are also the gun-free zones in Africa, because only the rebel soldiers and the government have firearms. And we're trying to support the churches out there and help our brothers and sisters in Christ who are really suffering.
Well, tell us what's going on in Rhodesia today. They call it Zimbabwe. But certainly the United States State Department brought this thug Mugabe to power, knowing he'd be some lifelong Marxist trained in communist China, over the objections of the Rhodesian people. And I understand that now things are just total chaos. In fact, we hear rumors that the inflation rate there is 10 million percent a year or 12 million percent a year. I heard even 40 million percent a year. What is happening as far as the inflation? What's happening to the stability in Rhodesia? Did the alternative government or alternative party get any power, or has Mugabe gone back on his promise? As we would expect the communists to do, the communists that was installed by the American State Department.
Well, Dr. Stan, as you know, that communists lie, and they believe that lying convincingly shows that they have superior intelligence. So you can't trust anything that a communist tells you, especially people like Robert Mugabe. And he publicly proclaimed that he would be 10 times worse than Hitler. and he's trying his best to live up to that standard. And because he thinks he's God, he thinks he can control supply and demand. So he fixes the price of bread at less than the market price to even bake the bread. He fixes the petrol or the gas price at below the market value. And then they can't understand why the petrol pumps run dry and why there's no bread to eat in the nation and the people are starving. So there's just pandemonium going on in that country. The opposition party won the elections clean, and Robert Mugabe will not hand over the reins of power. And the MDC, it's called, they've easily won the elections with even no questions asked, but Robert Mugabe is hanging on to power as much as he possibly can. And so we've seen absolute chaos there. You've mentioned the inflation rate. People are starving to death in the nation.
What is the current inflation rate in Zimbabwe?
I've got no idea. It runs into the millions of percent. And in fact, you know, the people of Zimbabwe are very educated people. They're some of the most educated people in Africa.
Right, and we continue financing Mugabe in the name of humanitarianism. American tax dollars at work. We'll be right back.
Buried in it. Perhaps a rawhide bone. The head of a talkie tabby doll that got too talky.
Baby, want a bottle?
Or a pet turtle that sadly didn't make it.
Sheldon? Sheldon, wake up.
There may also be buried pipelines. And even the best maintained pipelines can occasionally leak. So make sure you know the signs. For instance, if you smell unusual odors, gas or petroleum.
Yeah.
Hear a hissing noise. See bubbling earth or water. Vegetation that's dead or dying. Or a colorful sheen on water. And don't forget these hard-to-miss clues, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these, don't investigate. And don't ignore it. Leave the area immediately. And call 911 or your pipeline company. For more on pipeline safety, visit atmosenergy.com/safety. Brought to you by Atmos Energy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Charlotte Van Veek, and we were talking about the tragic situation that exists in Zimbabwe today. Now, my understanding is that the Chinese communists are over there as well. What part are they playing in keeping Mugabe in power?
Apparently the communists, Dr. Stan, are the people that are helping Mugabe keep the country running because everything's just fallen to pieces there. Apparently, you know, these people bring in petrol or gas for the stations there, but the communists and the Chinese don't give anything for free. So you might have heard of land invasions taking place, people's farms being taken away, and this either gets given to these foreign governments in payment for the whatever resources they're bringing in to back up Mugabe, or it gets given to the cronies, the cabinet ministers and members of parliament that back Mugabe. So this is the kind of pandemonium that goes on there. And one of the interesting facts is that Zimbabwe is a gun-free zone. And you can't have bulldozers smash down 300,000 businesses and homes of people in a country where people are armed.
I mean, 300,000 homes and businesses have been destroyed there?
With bulldozers, that's right.
Well, why aren't we hearing about that in the media in America?
Yeah, I've got no idea. It is unbelievable what is going on there. It is scary. And in South Africa, too, the takeover by the communists, it was written, the script was written by the State Department of America. It is terrible to see what goes on under these circumstances. And the Zimbabwean people are suffering. They are really struggling. There's no food in the stores. There's no petrol. They can't keep their families alive there, and people are starving to death. And then what the government has done is told any Christian organizations or anybody that brings food into the country to support the people or some kind of resources, it has to be given to Mugabe's thugs in parliament who will then distribute it. So if we want to support our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ in the Zimbabwe, we have to smuggle things into that country. This is absolutely appalling. They only support those who vote for them if you hand the goods over to the government. And you can be sure if you're handing things over to them, it's not going to be getting to the Christians on the ground that you're intending to support. And this kind of thuggery just goes on unabated. Nobody in the West even flinches at the chaos that's going on there.
Well, now, my understanding is that, 4 or 5 million of the 11 million people of the country have already fled?
Apparently so. That's what they're saying. Africa's very difficult to keep statistics there, but millions have fled into South Africa, into Zambia, into Botswana. People are fleeing Zimbabwe all the time. In fact, people are coming into South Africa from all directions, and it's nothing new. Even during apartheid, when apartheid apparently was so bad, people were walking through our game areas with lions and cheetahs there to try and get into South Africa to try and find jobs because of the chaos in other areas in Africa. And people complain about how bad apartheid was, but the democracy we have in Africa is far worse than apartheid ever was. Robert Mugabe has murdered far more people than in Zimbabwe. About 30,000 people were attacked and murdered soon after he came to power in the western side of the country. And now through all his chaos that he's caused, many people are dying of starvation in the country. Far more than was ever killed during the time of apartheid in South Africa, and the people just allow him to carry on with this, and his own people can't stand up to him because they're disarmed. They can't do anything. And so the bulldozers can go in and they can wipe out homes and businesses when they like. They take over people's farms when they like, because obviously the thugs and the people in government have firearms, and the poor farmers and the innocent victims can't defend themselves.
When did they take the guns away from the Rhodesian people? Because they were armed, weren't they, before the State Department brought Robert Mugabe to power?
That's right, Dr. Stan. They were an armed population. In fact, they were armed so well that the citizenry fought a war against the terrorists that were attacking Rhodesia for many, many years. And the State Department helped Mugabe come through to power. In fact, they had a previous election in Zimbabwe, and another black president came to power. And the State Department and the rest of the world wouldn't give this man the light of day. They wouldn't recognize his government. And so they forced the electorate to go back to the ballot box. And the next time Robert Mugabe came to power, and then they recognized him and gave him all the benefits. Well, he didn't waste too much time in disarming the whole nation, and then carried on with his thuggery, claiming that he would be 10 times worse than Hitler and all, and he's really living up to what he was bragging about.
Well, it's one of the great tragedies of modern times, because Rhodes really was a wonderful country, and they had, you know, just certainly very good relationships. There was no apartheid. I mean, blacks could vote just like whites. There were certainly educational restrictions, but it was not one man, one vote, but any black man who either had... What was the requirement? Was it property or education?
That's right.
Allowed
that's
you to
right.
Vote?
It was property. If you owned property, and I think there was also educational standards, but anybody could vote. They never, ever had apartheid. And obviously, the rest of the world doesn't know that. In fact, people in South Africa don't even know that, because all you have is this liberal propaganda saying all the time how bad the whites were and how... you know, how the blacks were done under in Zimbabwe, which is absolute nonsense. Rhodesia was the most beautiful, peaceful country that you could ever come across. The people had food. They were exporting food. Ian Smith, who was the prime minister at that time, was loved all over the nation. The black people had certain areas, the tribal areas, where they were ruling themselves, and they would invite Mr. Ian Smith to come and speak to their leaders. And they... probably one of the best-ruled countries in the whole of Africa, and now there's total pandemonium. And in fact, when Britain pulled out of Zambia, they left £10 billion in the bank. This is in the 60s, £10 billion, and today the country's bankrupt. But by God's grace, the farmers who have been threatened with their lives in Zimbabwe have moved to Zambia now, which is just north of Zimbabwe, Central Africa. And Zambia has turned around totally, and they're now exporting food since the farmers have left Zimbabwe and have gone to Zambia. Isn't that amazing? Robert Mugabe could have had these farmers in his country. They could have been eating well. They could have been exporting food. And now Zambia is benefiting from the chaos in Zimbabwe as the farmers flee Zimbabwe to go to a peaceful country like Zambia.
Well, it's a tragic situation. Let's give out your website just one more time and tell people how they can get your book if they'd like.
Well, if people would like to find out about our ministry in South Africa, our organization is called Frontline Fellowship, and the website is frontline.org.za, or frontline.org.za. If people would like to buy my book, Shooting Back, or the DVD documentary of the book, Shooting Back, they can get that from WorldNet Daily, WND.com or WorldNetDaily.com. And then my personal website, if people would like to contact me or invite me to a meeting or something like that, or over for a cup of coffee, I'm MissionLiberty.com, MissionLiberty.com. And there's also a free CD available. If people register on my site, I'll send them a CD of me speaking on the issue of firearms and freedom in South Africa.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll take your call if you have a question for Charles. 970-689-8255. 970-689-8255. Right here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis.
Harris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Harris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Charles Van Veek. Our telephone number, 970-689-8255, 970-689-8255. And Africa, of course, is a continent with tremendous natural resources, tremendous wealth there, but unfortunately the people never seem to benefit from that. Well, tell us what's going on in Angola at the present time. There, of course, you had Chevron Oil Company backing the communist government over the government that was certainly wanted to be free, headed by Jonas Savimbi, who was killed, by my understanding, by a Soviet special forces unit that came in and to take him out. And that way, of course, the communists were able to pretty well take over and maintain their control with the help, of course, of Chevron Oil. What's going on there?
Yes, Dr. Stan, again, Angola, very great mineral resources in oil and diamonds, and then controlled by these the communist government. The interesting thing there that's been happening, too, again, is people are fleeing the country again, living under the communist control. There are many, many refugees that have fled into Zambia, western Zambia, living there to get away from the communist control in Angola. And, yes, the freedom-fighting person that supported the West and democracy, Savimbi, he was murdered, as you've mentioned already. He was wiped out during the war. And basically, we as South Africans were in Angola helping Jonas Savimbi to protect the southern part of Angola from the communists in government there. And the Cubans had also gone in to help the northern communist government in Angola. And so there was a conflict there for many, many years. And obviously when our communists came to power and they're friends with the communist government in Angola, you know, the war was over. But the horrible thing is the way Jonas Savimbi was vilified and made out to be a Satan incarnate when he was the man that was fighting for freedom and democracy in Angola against the communists. And the West made this man out to be the worst person on earth. And so we see this kind of chaos going on all the time there, people living in fear of their lives. In fact, Angola is probably one of the countries with Mozambique in Africa who have the highest amount of landmines still, many, many years, decades after the war, still implanted beneath the ground. And children are losing life and limbs, and women too, and men, average citizens, as they're walking around, and there's still minefields there many, many years later in these areas.
Well, one of the great tragedies of our time, of course, they used to have a tanker that an oil tanker that went in and out of the ports there in Angola. It was known as the Condoleezza Rice because she was on the board of Chevron that was backing the communists there. Of course, when she became the National Security Advisor to President Bush, why they changed the name of the Condoleezza Rice to some other name, but because we couldn't let the American people know that sort of thing was really going on. What about Southwest Africa? That certainly is a great and fertile country, but I understand that they're doing fairly well with their communist rule.
That's right. The interesting thing about Namibia, which used to be called Southwest Africa, is when the communists came to power there, the rest of the world started supporting them in business and doing business with them again, and in fact the white farmers there started doing exceptionally well, which is very interesting. And so Namibia is pretty peaceful right now, and it's probably, you know, the communists had full control there. There isn't a very aggressive anti-government stance in the area. And so, you know, they're carrying on with life as usual. The first president there tried to stay in power much longer and wanted to do three terms in office and all this sort of thing. And it's a normal African style of doing things, want to take over as life president. But by the looks of things, they've managed to get through the troublesome time and they are doing well. They've also got great mineral resources there. From our side, we owned a part of land. South Africans owned the Walvis Bay area, and we're very upset that that was just handed over to the communists in Namibia at the time that they did get their independence. And all the people that were living there were South African citizens. They were learning Afrikaans in their schools, which was the one of the two main languages in South Africa. And basically, they were just given away, handed over to the communists that took over in Namibia. But at the moment, Namibia is very peaceful, and Botswana, another country that is very peaceful. And they are, Botswana is a great free enterprise country. In fact, they've had probably the greatest economic growth rate in the world. They've been showing double figures for probably about 15 years already, greater economic growth than Singapore or Japan. And it is just phenomenal that you can have a place or a country like Botswana that is growing economically, it's doing so well, and right next door, on the east of it, is Zimbabwe, where everything's falling to pieces, people are hungry, they were exporting food and now they're importing food when they can afford it, or as foreign governments, like the Chinese, are giving them food, they're taking their land away from them. And so it is just mind-boggling to see a country that's doing so well economically like Botswana. It's really very much the same sort of climate and that sort of thing, same land, and yet the one is falling to pieces and the other is doing extremely well economically. Run by free enterprise, free market, democratic leaders.
Well, that's what happens when you elect a communist to power in a nation. Well, what's happening in Darfur? We hear an awful lot of talk about Darfur and the terrible things that are happening there and the slaughter of the people and the oppression of the people. What's the truth about what's really going on there?
Yes, we've been very concerned that the world has been so... they've taken to heart everything that's going in Darfur, because in other areas in Sudan where there are many, many Christians, like the Nuba Mountains, nobody's cared there about the Muslims who've been murdering the Christians. And in Darfur, there aren't many Christians around. In fact, it's Muslims fighting Muslims there. And then we have all these actors and everybody in the West and in America going out into the streets and taking part in demonstrations and that against Darfur, when Muslims killing Muslims there. They're fighting with each other. And it's not, it's the Muslim blacks versus the Muslim Arabs, and there are no Christians involved. But in the areas where the Christians have been murdered, in Uganda and Rwanda and in the Nuba Mountains in Sudan, nobody cares about them.
Well, that's tragically the situation. Well, we're out of time, Cheryl. God bless. Have a safe trip. I'll let us know when you get back there again. I'd love to have you on the program. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. God bless. Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and of course, to really understand what's going on in the world, you must watch my DVD, The World Revolution, and read a book written by the Librarian of Congress, Fire in the Minds of Men, James H. Billington. The book tells you about the continuing world revolution. It began, of course, according to Billington, with the French Revolution, but it really began with the American Revolution. The same forces were here. And there was a continuing revolution. Billington follows the revolution up to the, the fall of Russia, then the fall of Cuba. But what Mr. Billington doesn't bring out is the fact that the communists were brought to power in Cuba by the American State Department. That's why my talk, my program, my DVD, The World Revolution, is so important. You'll hear the American ambassador to Cuba telling about how the American State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power, and they knew he was a communist. Why? Because he is a very close friend of David Rockefeller's daughters. They're always down there visiting him, and he comes up to visit the chief, David Rockefeller. You'll find that on page 405 of David Rockefeller's memoirs. You need to get the information. You need to understand that it was David Rockefeller's organization and the people who were close to him who brought Barack Obama to power here in the United States. If you see pictures of Barack many times, you'll see a tall white man, gray-haired, standing behind him. That's Paul Volcker, member of the Trilateral Commission. Paul Volcker, former chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. Paul Volcker, longtime member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And Paul Volcker is one of the chief advisor to the new President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. How did he get his picture onto the front page of Time magazine repeatedly? He didn't. It was the people behind him. People of great wealth and power brought our new president to power. Why would they pick somebody who was the most radical socialist, most radical leftist in the United States Senate? Why, very simply, because they are bringing an authoritarian system to power, and the American people voted for it because, of course, they were repudiating George Bush and torture and the war in the Middle East and certainly the financial crisis that Paul Volcker helped to bring about. Understand they create the problem and they have a solution. You need to get my DVD on the World Revolution, the book Fire in the Minds of Men, and then my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day. Please help us get the information out. The media is controlled in America, just as it is in South Africa, just as it is in so many parts of the world today. But at least we have, for the time being, talk radio, we have shortwave, we have the Internet, we have satellite. You need to get other people to understand that the media in the United States is controlled. And once they understand that, why, they'll begin to hopefully join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation can be preserved and whether the freedoms we've enjoyed and inherited can be preserved. So the key is to convince people the media is not giving you the truth. One of the best sources we have, I think, to convince them is a DVD I watched, pardon me, a video I watched this weekend called Losing the USS Liberty. It's the story of the American ship that the Israelis tried to sink, and it wasn't the Israeli people, it was the wicked people in the Israeli government, working with the wicked people in Washington, D.C., wanted to sink an American ship so they could justify an attack on Egypt. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there are wicked people in our government, and we'll be back on tomorrow. Until then, may the Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio,